this is Pastor Zhang's humility too. Brothers and sisters, we have been talking about humility, and if the Lord has illuminated anything prideful, or if you've been exercising humility in your life, we welcome you to give testimony. Now, last week we talked about how humility is the most essential attribute for those in the kingdom. If we are not humble, the kingdom is not in us. We also talked about how we need to become more childlike, because those who are humble and childlike draw closer to the Lord and will sit with him. For Jesus said that those who have a humble heart and a willingness to serve are the ones who will become more intimate with him. And I hope you have become more childlike by practicing and applying it in your lives. Ask the Lord to guide you through this process and ask him for breakthroughs. Because the perspective of humility in the world is very different from that of the Lord's. 20 years ago, when I first started seeking the Lord's humility, I received a book titled Humility by Andrew Murray. This was a tiny little book, but I really loved and enjoyed it. So I went to a bookstore to try to find a few copies in order to get to my friends. When I arrived at the bookstore, I asked the clerk whether or not they had this book, and they replied that they had never even heard of it. I said, "Someone recently gifted it to me. Can you please take a look and see if the store has it in stock?" So the clerk was kind enough to help me look for it, and it took a little while, but eventually we found it in a very remote area of the bookstore. There was a little stack of them in a corner, and you can tell that they had been there for a long time due to their yellowing. Even the store clerk was surprised that they had it in stock, as no one has ever asked for a book on humility, because the topic of humility is not something individuals tend to look for. Rather, they tend to look for topics that will help them become more successful in the world. So I asked the clerk, "How much did the book cost?" And as he was surprised that they even had the book, and seeing as no one ever wanted it, he said $2 Taiwanese. So I bought them all and gifted them to my friends. This really says a lot about what we focus on in this world, because a selfish individual does not care about such things as humility. They are focused on how to become the greatest in the world, the most successful, or most famous. But God's Son came to earth wrapped in cloth and was laid in a manger. Think about this. A newborn who just entered the world was wrapped in cloth and placed in a stable, smelly, and dirty manger. But that was God's sign. He brought down heaven's humility to earth as an example for us, to help us negate the enemy's toxicity, which is so ingrained in us. As Madame Jean Guyon said, "A person truly humbled permits not anything to put him in a rage. As it is pride which dies the last in the soul, so it is passion which is last destroyed in the outward conduct. A soul thoroughly dead to itself finds nothing of rage left." In short, the last to die in the outward man is his attitude, while the last to die in the inner man is his pride. This toxicity from the enemy runs deep, all the way back to Adam, because he chose to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Wouldn't you agree that all of humanity has this toxicity running through us? We love to separate things into good and bad. Like, oh, this person preaches well, but this other person is just so-so, or not good enough, or this worship leader doesn't do a good enough job, etc., etc. It feels like whenever we see someone, we're always judging them, constantly scoring them to see if they are good enough. However, that is pride, brothers and sisters, and God says that there is only one judge, and that is the Lord. When I used to lead the adults in our life group, I sent them an essay titled Seeking God's Grace. It was about two friends, Mario and Anselm Wall. These two were extremely close friends who grew up together. Mario was from a well-to-do family and had the luxury of growing up with a good education. He went out preaching and would eventually rise in rank and become a bishop. Anselm Wall, on the other hand, was from a poor family. He grew up becoming a stable hand. Now, as Mario's fame grew, he often would go out and preach, and every time he did this, his friend Anselm Wall was there, sitting in the front row, grinning with an expression filled with love and support. But as Mario's fame grew, he began to see Anselm in a different light. He began began to think lowly of his friend, thinking, why should he associate himself with a stable hand, someone of such lowly status? So he began to distance himself from him. One day, while preaching, Mara began to stutter, and as time went on, it only became worse, and his sermons began less and less powerful. He looked for Ensaimo, who had always sat in the front row, but could not find him, so he began searching for his friend. And after a long time, he finally found an old, run-down stable. There he asked the hand where he might find Ensaimo. However, he was given the reply that his old friend Ensaimo had passed many days prior. And from then on, Mara's sermons plummeted in their effectiveness. And that is when he realized that his friend was the key. Ensaimo, who had always sat in the front row smiling, supporting him, and offering him his prayers, was what gave Mara the strength and courage to preach. That is when Mara realized that he himself was empty. Ensaimo received the most precious gift of humility, because though Mara was being used by the Lord out there preaching, Ensaimo, who was raised in a poor background and worked as a stable hand, never compared himself to his friend, nor spite him. Even when Mario distanced himself from him, he was not hurt. Rather, Ensaimo continued to support him through prayer, and he was happy and joyful that his dear friend was being raised and used by the Lord. This was his pleasure and joy. Now that is true grace, true humility. Let us turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 15 to 16, ESV version. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. We love to mourn with others when they mourn, because we pity them. However, it's really hard to be joyful and rejoice with others, as we often begin to think negatively. A lot of people will naturally begin to envy others, thinking, why them, but not me? They become uncomfortable. When I used to be at Xingzhou, there were a few brothers that came up to me and expressed that when they saw other brothers who had joined the church later than them, yet chased after the Lord with a quicker pace, were used by the church more intensely, and even filled with the Holy Spirit more, that they would envy them. They would feel uncomfortable on the inside. Now thank the Lord that our brothers were so honest and open about this, but it shows you how much pride has a stronghold in our lives. Last week I talked about what true humility is. It is how we look at our own status and be fulfilled, that I am satisfied with the position the Lord has placed me in. I am satisfied with my own physical body, my own IQ, my gender, my family, etc., etc. This is exactly like Ensaimo. He was humble. However, Satan's toxicity has a stronghold within all of us, making us feel self-abasement, putting ourselves down. Now this often leads to us comparing with others or putting others down. As long as somebody else is being used, raised, or highlighted, it makes us uncomfortable. So brothers and sisters, we shouldn't accept this as ourselves, but rather recognize that this is Satan's toxicity. When I was still at Xingzhou and I passed this essay around to my class, as they read it, a brother came looking for me. He said, Sister Chang, what am I to do? After reading this essay, I understand what humility is and how godly and valuable this trait is, but I still rather be a Mario. I don't want to be Ensaimo. What am I to do? Now this just goes and shows you how deeply our pride runs within us, so deep that even knowing that it is Satan's toxicity, we still don't want to be an Ensaimo. We would rather be a Mario. Most people who hear a sermon and think it is too difficult through would stop, and it is very unfortunate. I want to remind you that God's words will always bring us pressure. Take a look at Jesus. When he was preaching on earth, people were mad and furious with him. Take a look at Paul. When he preached, people would plug their ears, and that's because the sermons would give them a lot of pressure, because they touched on truths that they were not able to accept. Is it because God doesn't love them? No, but rather, those people chose to not listen, so it became a burden. Thank the Lord that the brother did not stop there. When he had free time between classes, he would come to church and plead to the Lord, asking him to root out his pride, that even knowing how beautiful humility was, he still wanted to be a Mario. He would say, "Please, Lord, save me." It wasn't just this one time, either. It started when he first read the essay, but continued onwards. Every time he had no class, he would come to church and cry out to the Lord to work on him. After a few months, another brother came to me and told me that, we'll call the brother at church Brother A. He told me that Brother A said some stuff that he couldn't accept and felt hurt. So I chatted with Brother A, and I realized that he said what he said out of love and compassion. But regardless, this other brother was now unhappy with him, and he was just unable to accept the things that he was told and felt hurt. So I asked Brother A, "Could you please go and give him some more love and compassion?" Now this really surprised me, because Brother A began praying to the Lord, saying that if his words hurt his brother, it must have hurt others as well. So he prayed, asking the Lord to guide his words and chastise his words. And that prayer really gave me a scare, because I was expecting him to say to the Lord, "Why would my words hurt my brother? They were for his well-being. Why would that other brother complain to the pastor about me? I was just trying to help him." But he didn't. He simply prayed to the Lord, asking him to guide his words. If he hurt his brother, he had hurt others as well. His reaction touched me very deeply for a long time, because if it were me, I would have replied, "I said this for his own good." I would not have had Brother A's reaction. His reaction really highlighted humility, the humbleness that God seeks. A truly humble person's speech or reaction will bring another person blessing and change to his life. I never knew that when he used to come to church and pray to the Lord that he was being changed so drastically. Now, this brother was also a PhD student. His classmates said that he was at the top of his class. His attitude used to be full of pride. But later, his classmates noticed that he had changed his speech and his very attitude. So brothers and sisters, humility will not just come down on us, but we need to ask the Lord for it. Humility is not a trait that we can say it is good to have or find without, but rather, it's a Christ-like trait that we should seek. Now, humility is not talking softly or sitting in the back. That can be our inner man or just a lack of confidence. That is not humility. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 26 and 29, ESV. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Look, Jesus said that he is gentle and lowly of heart. But most oftentimes today, if anyone says that, you would automatically think that this person is extremely prideful. Humility is not an exterior trait. Let's take a look at Moses. In Exodus, Moses led countless people, and he was the chosen of God. But who wrote this? Moses did. He wrote this inspired by the Holy Spirit. If we were to write that, we would say, "Lord, people would think that I am prideful." But that is exactly because we are prideful. A self-abased person or a prideful person will always be focused on the me, how others will view me, how others will think of me, and how others will speak of me. The me is so strong in us. But a humble person will not have that notion of me. Simple obedience to the Lord. Whatever the Lord says or leads the person to do, that they are willing to respond. So that is why Moses wrote what he wrote. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus as well, the Spirit in him, said that "I am gentle and lowly in heart." When our spirit says this person is not humble, it's often because we don't understand we live in our own pride. Humility is an inner life trait. It's not something that needs verification from the outside world on whether or not that they are humble. So brothers and sisters, When we listen to testimonies, oftentimes it is God-inspired in order to help us and others. But there are also others who give testimonies in order to elevate themselves. They are very different, but only God will judge. We must be vigilant. Look, Jesus, even though he performed so many miracles and gave so many sermons, there were still people not willing to listen. But it did not deter Jesus, nor did he become bitter. Instead, he said, "Father, it is your will," only allowing those with childlike minds to be able to absorb and understand his teachings, while those with stiff minds rejected him. It was God's will to make the group of people reject him. This is a humble life. And as Andrew Murray said, humility is your inner life entirely quiet, peaceful, not troubled, not easy to become pressured, angry, disappointed, or saddened. Someone who is humble is not always looking for what someone can do for me. Neither does one feel odd when someone isn't doing something for me. A humble person isn't grieved or spiteful. When no one is praising you, or when you are being persecuted or corrected, my heart is at peace. Humility is knowing that in the Lord you are in a blessed house, that when the world is filled with worries and troubles, I can come home before the Lord and rest in his presence. So humility is within us, an inner life trait, not an outwardly expressive trait, secretly wanting others to praise us. I've learned that humility is the Lord himself. If we constantly connect with him, we will gain this trait. Otherwise, we will not truly be humble. I have deeply experienced speaking to the Lord, saying, "Father God, without you, even for a moment, I can become angry. Any time, I could sin. I need to proactively continue to seek the Lord, the Lamb. Otherwise, it is too easy in the moment to get angry or have a bad attitude." Humility is not wanting someone to do anything special for you. When the daughter-in-law comes into the home, some might get the idea that it's her duty to do the laundry, or that she should cook for us. A different example would be that we think our small group leader should come visit us, or that our pastor should do this or that for us. We often want others to do something for us, but that is not humility. We also should not think that it's odd that no one is doing anything for us. Jesus said, "People will hate, reject, and persecute me." We too will experience that, whether it be in our own families, or simply handing out a flyer on the street. Don't be emotional and say, "Why would you be like that to me?" But rather, understand that just like Jesus, we will experience those things as well. Many people don't go out and spread the gospel these days because they are afraid of the hatred and the rejection that they might encounter. We need to often practice spreading the gospel, especially to strangers, and not be afraid of rejection. Because not only will our skin thicken, but we will need to understand that even the rejection brings us glory. We need to learn from Jesus and be gentle and lowly at heart. That is how we will receive peace. That's saying the humble person is the most joyful and peaceful person. Don't you want to receive this? A humble person will not easily be hurt because they are so low. They are very resistant to the enemy's attack. Humility is truly a gift from the Lord. But it doesn't just fall into our laps. We need to strive for it. We need to watch our words and our attitudes and not follow in the footsteps of the world. Satan's toxicity is all throughout this world. Haven't you noticed that the world revolves around pride? Everything we pursue, the more we get to know the Lord, we need to obey and say we will do it. But we need more grace from the Lord to guide us. Then there is no problem, because God wants us to live a humble life walking with him in his will. Just as Jesus said, "Whatever the Father wants me to do, I will do. I am nothing. I am nobody. Without the Father, I can do nothing." God's own Son, living as a man on earth, said that. He was showing us how to live a humble life. We need to first understand how pride permeates our daily lives and know how scary it can be. Then we need to tell the Lord that we do not like it. please save us from her so we can enter heaven. We need to pray for humility and exercise it in our daily lives. And even though it is an inner life trait, we need to practice it through our attitudes and our speech, especially when interacting with others, often praising others or raising others up. Keeping ourselves as the lowest will help us learn about humility. Especially as we grow older, we must be wary because many older people will say, I have experienced so much more in life than you. I have crossed more bridges than you have walked. But we need to be careful in our speech and our actions. We shouldn't aim to be like the worldly, but rather we should learn to bless and serve people. We should also practice getting closer to God. This is practicing humility. Drip by drip, we need to practice on the outside and on our inside so that when someone verbally attacks us or corrects us, we can say, thank you, rather than say, what do you know? Some people may not actively say it out loud, but on the inside, they are very prideful. They too still need to work on their humility. Seek the Lord. Say thank you, Lord, for this encounter. I thank you for your guidance. I am prideful. I need correction. This will help us relieve ourselves of Satan's toxicity. Now there is a mother of five. The kids would often cry and fight, and she would sometimes get very angry. But when she spent an hour waiting upon the Lord, her attitude towards her children, even when they were rowdy, was different. She was calm and compassionate. So we should often desire to spend time and get closer to the Lamb, and He will help us lower ourselves more and more. Totally different from Satan's perspective of putting oneself on a higher and higher pedestal. Now sometimes we get pressured, and as it builds we find ourselves compromising. Even myself, for example, preaching is a lot of pressure, along with a lot of unknowns. Especially when I first started serving the Lord, but God wanted me to practice how to rest in Him. And for me, that was washing the clothes. Now mothers must say otherwise, but for me, it was a time of relaxation. Especially before I had to go preach, I would often relax by doing the load of laundry. And as I took this time to not only relax, but draw closer to God, I would often realize that I had become more relaxed, meaning that there were things in my mind that made me nervous, which is pridefulness. So I would thank the Lord for allowing me to use these opportunities to learn and grow, saying that I cannot do anything without you, and just lowering myself. Thank you, Father, for letting me grow and taking on more and more burdens, but growing peace within me. Just like when we had to buy the land for this church, $17.5 million is a lot of money, but the Lord told me that we would pay it off in one go. Even when someone asked me, how much have you saved up for the church? I would reply, I have no idea. I just got back from a mission. But wouldn't you know it, the Lord is true to His word, and we paid it off in one go. Humility is a true gift. When we allow the Lord to guide us and we lower ourselves, we can encounter the grace and peace that is from heaven. Heaven gave us a child, born in a stable and laid in a manger, persecuted at a young age, an ultimate example of humility. Let us take all our angst and nail it to the cross. We need to pray to God to remove bitterness and dissatisfaction and give us more and more humility. We need to remember that He will listen and do, so be ready. We might be scolded or disciplined to bring us lower. We need to react with thankfulness. Thank the Lord. That is called learning and practicing. Humility will not come to you through the laying of hands. It's through the Lord and the events He sets up in our lives and how we react to them. Let us be like Anselm Wall and Brother A. Let our lives change and continue to humble ourselves before others and our Lord.